So weird how life
works.
Yeah. I would have not thought this would be me.
Hey, Roll Tide.
I'm not perfect. I'm going to stumble over my words. I'm going to make mistakes.
I think I like people that look like they haven't bathed.
Crunchy. Yeah, but I'm a total train wreck.
Are you ready to do this?
Guarantee you'll see the beast.
Ooh-wee! Here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah, another finale has happened.
Has left us feeling unsatisfied.
Well, I wouldn't say unsatisfied.
Oh.
I would say that I feel, in the words of Dashboard Confessional, from the seminal soundtrack.
Screaming Infidelities?
No. Oh. From Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
I feel vindicated.
Vindicated about what?
I just feel like I've been saying what's going to happen, and what happened has happened, and I think I feel better about that.
I hope our listeners are going, wait, what happened happened? Really?
Yeah, what happened
wait,
happened.
Wait, it didn't not happen?
I feel good about knowing what happened, and it happened in the way that I predicted it to happen. Almost in the same way that I would feel good about if the person picked somebody that I actually liked.
Wow.
Yeah, so I feel pretty good about this.
I guess that makes sense. Like, instead of they like a person that you like, they hate a person that you hate, it's the same sort of...
Yeah.
You know, it's the same sort of feeling. It's just backup that you had it right.
Exactly. How do you feel, Adam?
You know. Like, listen, this is a bad season for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. Tonight didn't need to happen. It was 2 hours of TV. Everyone knew what was going to happen. It was kind of predictable.
Yeah.
And it didn't make you feel good.
No. And I think the thing that, out of all the things that I felt vindicated about, I felt really bad for Hannah throughout it. And, you know, they're creating
that's what they're trying to do.
Right. And I know they're creating this narrative where, like, oh my God, she's so strong and, like, this kind of thing. But
that is false.
The way that she's talking about, I think at least the way that she was talking about Jed, her relationship with him, and even how she was talking about the process of the show and the journey of the show before they were picked, it was just really sad.
Yeah. It's an episode of TV that'll just make you feel bad about yourself.
It really will.
Unless you're just a total masochist.
Right.
Or a sadist or something. The point of television, I like to watch it when it gives me good feelings.
Oh,
no. For example, laughter.
Why?
I like to watch shows that make me laugh.
Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you watch shows that make you cry and feel things?
Because I don't want to do that.
You watch Queer Eye.
Yeah, that makes me feel happy.
It does make you feel happy.
That makes me feel very happy, because guess what? When other people love you and feel good about you and support you, you can do things.
Mm-hmm.
This show is not about that.
It's not about that.
It's not about that.
It's not about that.
Here's what it is about.
Mm-hmm.
So we start still in Crete.
Still in Crete. We've been in Crete for a month. We've been in Crete for a month.
To be clear, we are not in Crete.
Hey,
let's
go to Crete.
We are in our recording studio in San Francisco.
I know. You know who? Somebody at work asked me today if they could be an intern on the show.
Oh, listen, it's a strict vetting process.
It is. But
you think that we sit here and we criticize The Bachelor and The Bachelorette for not doing their background checks?
That's true.
And we're just going to let people off without being extremely thorough?
You got to have a
extremely
thick skin.
Extremely thorough.
You got to have a thick skin.
I'm
really
talking DNA test.
Yeah.
I'm talking 24andMe.
I mean, the background
you got to have an extra set of chromosomes so that I can test them so I get more information than I would have about a regular person.
Yeah, the background checks that The Bachelor doesn't do, we do those.
We do all of them.
We do all of them.
You know who's checking the background on the background checkers for The Bachelor and The Bachelorette? That's us. That's 25 to Life staff.
One and two.
Right?
Yeah.
Just saying.
So the application's open.
Apply.
There is one role, and I'm sure if you asked, you could get it.
I don't want to discourage you from applying. I want to discourage you.
That's it.
Period.
That's the tweet. That's the tweet. That's
sorry.
It. That's it.
So we're in Crete. Go.
So Chris Harrison starts this episode, and you and I were talking about this. I don't think we've ever watched the show where they have been so transparent about what's going to happen at the end of the show, or have been so sort of ominously foreshadowing, this is going to be horrible, or this is going to be
drama,
not the ending you think it is. I mean, of course they say, oh, it's going to be the most dramatic ever. But Chris Harrison almost explicitly said, she's going to pick the wrong person, and the lies will spill from his mouth like blood. Like, so, chill.
So he, I mean, it's literally his job to go out there and to say, you have to keep watching because you're going to see something you've never seen before.
Yeah.
What he is definitely not saying is, definitely keep watching because this is something that'll make you feel good about yourself before you go to bed.
Mm-mm. And even, like, he said the words, I was trying to get the whole line, but he said something and then he said, you know, the massive destructive forces of lies or something like that. I said, oh my God, not massive destructive. So
it is, this is something that's going to come up throughout the episode. Yeah. So let me just get this out.
Jesus.
Like, it is the Bachelor's framing, or the Bachelorette's framing, ABC's framing, that this is about the destructive nature of one person who told lies and got on the show and wasn't who he said he was.
Yeah. Which is true.
Well, the
that is, it's part of the truth.
It is absolutely Jed's fault that he did this stuff and that he is a bag of... That is absolutely true.
Yes.
It is still ABC's fault that they picked somebody who couldn't tell that he was doing this when everybody else, even those of us who just part-time watch a couple of hours of what's happening, can tell.
Yeah.
Right? And it is absolutely Hannah's fault that she picked the wrong person. It is not her fault that she's not ready to make that decision. But ABC just dragged a totally nice, you know, undereducated person.
Naive.
Yes.
Yeah.
They took somebody who wasn't ready for this and they just dragged her under the horse for an entire season so that we could all watch and then sort of feel good for her at the end when we all got to point and laugh at how terrible the guy was.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it doesn't look great on a lot of people involved. It doesn't, like you said, it doesn't look great for the show because, you know, these are the problems, challenges, and behaviors of a child who's on a show who's like, I want to be married, but you're 24. Like, think of all the behaviors of a 24, 25-year-old man that you're trying to get married to. Excuse me, boy, that you're trying to get married to. They do stuff like this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll talk about it all episodes.
So, okay.
So, let's start with a shining moment.
Let's just get to where we're at.
This episode has, like, one good moment, and it happens right at the beginning. This episode of The Bachelorette.
Yes.
So let's have this moment of 25 to life have a good moment right now.
Okay, what is it?
Tyler gets out of the car,
uh-huh,
and he goes up, and he's just very nice. And, like, it's a little bit tough to understand what he's saying.
Because he's mumbling and slurring.
Because he mumbles.
In his beautiful language that he speaks in.
Hey, great.
So he goes up and listen, for all the gentlemen listening, you know, I've given a tip on this before about proposing to somebody.
Oh.
It's not like I'm an expert, but I am batting 1,000.
Okay? Shut your mouth. You shut your mouth.
So Tyler gets out of the car and he walks up to Hannah. You know, he's got his suit all pressed. He looks good. He's
swagging. He's not wearing socks. It's hot.
Right? And he stands there and he gets straight into the speech, which is good.
The right thing to do.
That is step number one of doing this thing right. He gets up there. He's like, listen, from the day that I met you. Mm. And so, you know, this is his speech.
Yeah.
You know, this is not an off-the-cuff thing. This has been practiced to death within an inch of its life.
Within an inch of his life. He woke up this morning. He wrote it down. He practiced.
He printed it out.
It's
on note cards. He practiced in front of the mirror to make sure that he's doing the right hand gestures at the right times.
Yeah, Tyler's a professional.
I think it probably takes him more practice than other people.
He's a professional something.
He is.
He's a professional something.
TBD.
Yep.
And the thing is, though, point number two, tip number two, Tyler fails massively on, which is make it very short.
Yes.
You don't want to sit there and, like, stare at her in the face and have your mind be going, wait a second, what comes next? What comes after when I came to visit you? What comes after when we kissed the first time? Oh, my God, where do I go? Make it short.
Yeah.
Okay, get it all out. Get her to say yes, and then you can figure out the rest later.
This is the old wrap it up box. would come in handy here.
It starts when you say, when I first met you, like your light is up in the back of the room. Yeah. You have like two sentences to get out the words and then that's it. He does not do this.
Yeah. The Academy Awards are ready to play you off.
Yeah.
Instantly.
So like Tyler's thing is very cute. It's very sweet. It's going great.
It's so nice. He's so sweet and beautiful and kind and genuine and sincere and like saying the right things in the right way. And just, I mean, how could you say no to somebody like that?
It'll make you feel good about yourself.
It really will. It'll gas you up for real.
Hope you're done with the positive part of the episode. Wherever you are listening to this right now, hope you're ready for a bunch of garbage, because that's what this show was.
And the first garbage piece that I will say is the ring that Tyler picked out was so ugly, it made me angry. It didn't make me angry enough to, you know, unfollow Tyler or be mad at him for anything ever, but it did make me question some of his taste level, because he dresses so well.
What was wrong with the ring? Paint a picture for our listeners who are not looking at a picture of
it. In a word, it was gaudy.
Well, they're all gaudy. They're all like, this is a great ring. It's only 7.8 carats.
Yes,
and, you know,
sure.
Something nice and polite.
Well, here's Adam. You know, it's not about cut.
It is about cut. Oh, God. Cut is the only thing that matters.
Sorry, excuse me.
Cut is not the only thing that matters.
It's not about carat. It's not about size. It's about cut. We get it.
About cut.
It was like, it looked like, at least to the naked eye, that it was center stone, probably about 2 to 3.5 carats in the middle, and then a double halo around it and skinny band. Listen, guys, Meghan Markle's center stone is only 3 carats. We don't need to go crazy.
Which would matter if it were about size, but it's not.
Well, I mean, the center stone is, you know, was from Botswana. I mean, it, you know, he's a prince. Prince Harry's a prince. So, of course.
So let's just set the standard there.
So, of course, for him, it is about cut,
So for everyone sitting there expecting, you know, a ring from somebody, set the standard at what Prince Harry got.
Yeah. What? I don't understand. If you don't have side stones to give me from your dead mother's collection, then I don't want it.
It's not enough to be a good person to somebody.
No.
You have to spend every dime you've ever saved in your whole life on a trophy of that love.
Now, here's the thing. Tyler also did not spend any money on this ring, so...
Well, she didn't get it, so, you know.
Anyway.
Nobody spends any money on things they don't keep, so, sorry.
I don't know. I've returned some stuff. Okay, then anyway, that means so
mid-speech, she starts crying. She looks him in the face. She's like, listen, I know that you have this thing, but, like, this is not working, and I don't want to sit here and listen to it. Sorry, but you're basically done. And he handles it like a champion. He's like, listen, I hope you and Jed work out. I'm sorry. I still think you're great. And he leaves.
Oh, Tyler. I said this to you while we were watching it. I don't know when this is going to happen, and probably never, because we don't deserve it, because we're like Batman. One day we're going to get somebody that we can really stand behind, and that person is going to get picked. And I don't know who that person's going to be.
You heard it here first.
I don't know who that person's going to be. One day we're going to be like, I've liked this person since the beginning, and this person is going to get picked, and I'm just going to be so happy and elated. And I'm patiently waiting for that day to come.
It's too bad we didn't do Sean Lowe's season.
I know. Well, no, because he picked Catherine, and I think
we should have picked Leslie Murphy.
He should have picked Selma. Oh my God. Jeez.
I mean, you got to do more than just, like, your relationship is more than just having, like, incredibly passionate hot sex, right? Like,
sure.
Like, Selma, like, wow.
Wow.
Whoa.
And guys, Selma is a deep cut from Sean Lowe's season. If you ever have the chance to go in and Google and find our sweet, beautiful Selma from Sean Lowe's season, please take a moment and do it for yourself.
I mean, Leslie Murphy was hot too.
There was a dress that Selma had on during, I think it was the night she got kicked off. It was like a flesh tone, like nude blush, hourglass, strapless midi dress that was like, I was like, I have never seen anybody that looks this beautiful ever in my life. And he sent her home like a dummy. I mean, I guess he's married and has children now, but, like, at what cost?
Sorry, what are we talking about?
We're talking about Selma.
Yeah,
I know you blacked out.
I forgot.
I blacked out.
I started imagining it, and I don't even know what's going on.
Where am I? So Tyler goes home. He's in the Sprinter. He's like, this is a million uppercuts to the gut. Like, what am I going to do? And he's just emotional and beautiful and gorgeous. And because Tyler came out of the limo first, that means she picked
Jen. The episode's about to take a turn.
Turn for the pooper.
So, yeah, you gotta, guys, when you're proposing, just get the words out, right?
Keep it tight. Keep
you know, tight. Don't you don't even leave the window open for this to happen. Get the words out, and then, you know, if you have other stuff to say, you can still say it after she says yes.
Because you know what?
You're not going to, it all happens so much. You're not going to remember the order at all.
You're not going to remember.
Again, you won't. Batting 1,000, I don't want to be that guy, but like, you couldn't possibly have a better percentage than me.
Right. It's unless, more so about the experience than unless, it is of course, about the words.
People
you know?
Accept your proposals without you giving them. Like, let's say you've proposed one time, but like five people have accepted. You know,
that's different. I think that's a totally different show.
That's a different show. Anyway, so this is what happens. So next up comes the final car. Mm. Jed gets out of it.
And guess you know, what he's got in his arms?
He's just carrying a dead horse in his arms.
Oh.
And so he walks up. He's like, listen, I was going to propose to you, but instead of that, I wrote you a song because I am nakedly here just to promote my music career. Remember?
And guys, the dog food jingle, we found it. It is linked in our description.
It's not even that good. It's not doesn't even make good. Me want to buy dog food.
No, doesn't even want to make me buy a dog.
Well, that's tough.
I know.
Because I want to buy a dog all the time. I know you do too.
I know.
So that's it. Jed, he says something like, I've lived 25 years of my life without you, and I don't know how it happened.
And you said, really? Are you sure?
She said that because she's been like, oh man, 25 years. That must be forever. Because I'm a child and I have no concept of time.
I mean, let's...
It's not a dimension I've understood wholly yet.
And you guys, let's really remember, you don't actually retain anything unless it's a super traumatic event between the years and ages of 0 to about 3. So... Is it 25 years or is it like 22?
I think she doesn't remember things that happened today.
I mean, y'all, The Lion King came out 20 years ago.
25 years ago.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, like your point is stronger.
Yes, and went largely unchanged in the new film, which we discussed was so weird.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to our episode from last week, right. Which I guess is now 2 episodes ago, because this week's boom, boom, double episode.
Yeah.
Double Halo episode. You know,
damn it, not right? Double Halo, that's not what we want.
Is there anything remarkable about Jed's proposal other than he's singing and you're sitting there being like, wow, I can't believe she's going for the worst one.
And I think the thing that really got me was I can't believe he brought his guitar. I am joking.
Can't you?
I am joking.
The most believable thing of all time.
Well, I mean, if there was anything that Chris Harrison could come out and say, what is the one thing that would not be the most dramatic part of this episode, and it would be Jed bringing his guitar.
So this is the end of the pre-recorded stuff.
And this was literally, let's say how long was this?
Was
it 30 minutes or so? So we've got an hour and a half to sort of lock all this up, which they flipped through both of these proposals very quickly. And the last thing that I will say about Jed in the proposal before we move on, his ring was infuriatingly tasteful.
I mean, this is a theme of the night.
I am a slut for an oval-shaped ring. It had one halo. I don't love it. But I will take it in this context, comparing it to Tyler's ring. And, you know, it looked really... It was nice. Gaudy, but nice.
Here's what I'm going to say. A theme of this show tonight that I was thinking the entire time is that real-life grown-ups don't see everything as a 100 and 0, totally right and wrong, black and white type thing.
Okay.
Jed is a bad guy. Doesn't mean that he's not going to pick a good ring. You know, this is not a story with one true hero who did everything right and one true villain who did everything wrong.
I don't know. Tyler did everything right.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Hannah and Jed.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, it's not. And a lot of the stuff, like, I like Tyler, too. I don't think Tyler's ready to get married to somebody.
No.
He's kind of dumb, and he's only 23 or something.
I mean, listen.
He could be just like Hannah.
He has 1 million followers on Instagram. He doesn't need to be doing anything with anybody for at least another 7 years, and I'm cool with it.
Just saying.
Yeah, so, totally.
So this is the end of it, and Now, between the end of the live recorded proposals and the in-studio time, we have this this thing that's kind of becoming a Bachelor and Bachelorette staple,
yeah,
which is inside like a condo shot of the two, of like the winner and the title character, having an in-depth, tough conversation.
Well, the thing that they've done is they've opened the curtain a little bit.
Open the kimono a little bit.
Thank you, Adam. A better way to say that. They've opened the kimono a little bit and shown us sort of what happens after. So they've been doing...
It gets hairy.
Right. Well, I mean, hairy or not hairy. Well, open kimono and it's hairy.
That's where I was going. You just repeated it without thinking about it.
Gross. So they've been doing this thing, whether the couple is happy or not. They have shown them in their... their weekend getaways with each other, filming videos, taking photos, and sort of their honeymoon suites, or the safe house, as I like to call it. They did this with Colton and Cassie. They obviously did this with Becca and Garrett once they finally got together. And of course, we all remember when Becca and Ari broke up.
Yeah.
And he did it on camera, but this was a little bit different because I don't think Becca was bombarded with the cameras when
now it's just a regular part.
And so at least now, or I mean, this is the most recent breakup that we've seen that has been okay. Yeah, the cameras will be here for this discussion.
I cannot remember the people like that, like you do. You just like this person. I can't remember, as we've discussed, the name of the last Bachelor. I can't remember that,
honey. Who was the last Bachelor?
You don't know.
It's Colton. I know it now.
Do you know it now?
I don't.
You know it now?
I'm like 80% sure. I don't know. I swear I'm actually intelligent. I can't remember any of this stuff. Maybe I'm not.
Honey, I know. So Hannah starts off this part, this third, let's call it the second act of the show.
It is the second act.
Yeah. And she is like, you know, Jed was so sweet and so sincere and so honest. And then... after about the first, she said the first night.
It was the day late. It was the next day after the engagement that she realized things were broken.
Right. So they were, it sounds like, or based on how she says it, that they were having a conversation like right after the engagement and they were talking about past relationships, or Jed offered up the information about how he had been in a relationship before he came on the show. Now, there were two, it sounds like there were two timelines that are happening. I can't remember if he told her that he was in a relationship during the fantasy suite or after they had been engaged.
It sounds to me like he told her in the fantasy suite, he was like, yeah, I was in a relationship until about a week before.
Right.
It, his version of things, which is obviously unreliable.
And we will get to that in a minute.
Is that he was hanging out with someone until about a week before. This is what he describes it as, hanging out with someone until about a week before.
And that he was hanging out with a lot of people.
He wasn't even exclusive with her. He was just hanging out with her.
And he wasn't exclusive with anybody. So that he also thinks implies,
this makes it better.
Right. That also implies it doesn't. That he was sleeping with a bunch of people at the time. So she...
He was lying to one girl that he was actually dating and still sleeping with everybody. He was sleeping around behind somebody else's back before he slept around behind someone else's back. Like...
on television.
Yeah. This, like, you know, poor Hannah. She picked the wrong person. But also, she's the girl... she's the other girl.
I know.
For somebody.
So after she got the information from Jed, she asked him sort of give me details and that kind of thing. And the details that he provided were very surface level. Just like you said, hanging out, whatever. It was a week before. You know, I said I love you to her like once or something. And so then...
The rabbit hole opens.
And... the People magazine article comes out. And so let's talk about the timeline of all of this stuff so that we can give everybody really good context about what happened from the time they started shooting until like today, essentially.
And this is very well-researched speculation.
Well-researched speculation.
We don't know this, yeah. But we put a lot more thought into this than you probably did if you were watching it. And if you weren't watching it, you haven't put any thought into it. So we still put more into it than you.
You're welcome.
So listen to this. So, buckle up.
So let me actually start at the very, very beginning. Jed and this girl were... Jed was born.
Okay.
25 to 26 years ago. It was January.
And he had never met
her. You know why we know it was January, because
his birthday's in January.
So in October or November of 2018, Jed and this girl started hanging out. They met at a bar, what have you. And
by his account,
by his account, hanging out. And based on, as we continue to tell the story, it is very clear that
they were dating.
They were dating. It was not hanging out. They were dating. Whether or not the conversation about them being exclusive happened or not, we do not know.
You know what? I don't believe in that.
You don't believe in the exclusive conversation?
I think you, like, if you both know whether it's exclusive or not, you get to a point where you're communicating so regularly, you know if they're dating somebody else.
Yeah. Well, and then, but then...
You don't need to have it. Like, somebody that you're seriously dating enough doesn't need you to say, I'm only dating you, to know. You should be reassuring to them, you know, that you're the only person.
Honey,
I don't date like most people
date. You're so sweet.
I don't date like most people date, but I'm batting 1,000. So, true. Listen, what's up?
But when we started dating, we did have a conversation, and it was brought up by me because, you know, of the way that I date. It was brought up by me where I said, I want to be clear about what it is that we're doing, how we're doing it, and what we're doing from this conversation forward. I am not dating anybody else. Are you dating anybody else? And then you were like...
I was like, who would I be dating? I'm with you 24 hours a day.
What kind of time do I have to be dating anybody else? And so, anyway... That conversation...
Katie Altman said no.
She did. And so now I was your sloppy seconds. So Jed and this girl had been dating, seeing each other since October or November. They dated through the holidays. And they went on trips together with friends. They went on trips solo together.
Cabin trips.
Right. And for somebody...
He had a free cabin. She was like, wait, you went on a one-on-one trip to a cabin? He was like, I had a free cabin. As though that justifies...
None of this helps, Jed. Shut up.
You can't go to the cabin with your boys. You can't go with a handful of people. We've all seen scary movies where a handful of people go to a cabin. Okay? Yeah. It's so routine, it's what I expect.
There's literally a movie called Cabin in the Woods that is about this.
You know how many people go? It's like nine.
Nine.
And not two.
And then everybody dies.
Right.
Except, like, two people.
Yeah, but everyone deserved to die.
Right, right. You know, they were fornicating, and then there's always that one skeptical guy.
Philistines.
You know, exactly. So, they were dating through the holidays. Jed's birthday is in January, as we now know. She planned a surprise birthday party for him in January.
Which is something that your girlfriend does for
him. Hello? Not somebody that you were hanging out with. She gave him, like... this gift. I can't remember what
her parents gave the gift. Yeah. And it was a trip to the Bahamas for her birthday, which is soon after.
Again, not a date or experience that you have with somebody that you are just hanging out with. Mind you, that in between that time when they were dating, Jed and this girl, her name is Haley. We will call her Haley. Haley.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, her name is Haley.
Spoiler alert, her name is Haley.
Jed and Haley went and met his parents also. So both sets of parents are now involved.
Everyone's saying, I love you.
Yes.
Both of your parents have met each other.
Yes.
You're taking trips out of the country together.
Yes, on birthdays. You are throwing birthday parties.
That's your girlfriend.
You are not hanging out with this girl. So
you texted her, I love you.
Like, you texted her, I love you on the plane. So they were pretty much dating from October, November until the show started filming. In March, Jed got the call to be on The Bachelorette in February. They discussed him being on The Bachelorette, what he was going to do on the show, the fact that, oh, I'm just going to be on this show. We're not going to break up. We're going to get back together when I come home. I love you. They bang before he gets on the plane to go. And he texts her, I love you, from the plane, writes her all these notes, blah, 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 and then comes on the show. And so Jed details this timeline. Hannah listens to this entire timeline and she is shook. Because I think in his mind, he thinks that everything that he's saying is making him sound better.
He thinks he's going to talk his way out of it. Like, oh no, listen, no. It wasn't a real relationship because I didn't consider it a real relationship.
No.
He thinks he's just all of a sudden going to redefine what happens, which is cool because that's the way it works.
Right. And so the other thing that I do want to mention is Hannah was very clear that she got the news of the article the day before it came out. And that's probably, she got it from a producer on the show because of what we had talked about earlier in the season, because this is a People magazine article that The Bachelor and ABC essentially own People magazine's right to the franchise. So they probably knew the story was going to come out and let Hannah know ahead of time, which is how that all shook out.
Yeah. Either way.
Yes. And then
this is bad.
And then there's another piece of this story that when she went to visit Jed in Nashville during the break time from the show. So essentially, if they started filming the show in March, hometown dates were in about April or so. And then in May, they got engaged. And between May and now, they had broken up. So let's say they broke up in early June or mid-June. It's what?
Sure.
When is it? July? What day is it?
Now?
Yeah. It's almost August. So let's say they
the day that this comes out is the last day of July.
Right. So let's say that they broke up at the end of June. Hannah is saying that when she went to Nashville for one of their safe house trips, she got text messages or DMs or whatever from two girls who were at Jed's apartment after they had, while she was in Nashville, waiting to meet up with him.
I mean, we don't need more detail, more evidence. The point is, I'm providing the timeline.
I'm providing the timeline for context.
Jed is a piece of garbage.
Jed is garbage.
I mean, I don't want to make a wholesale judgment about his personality, but Jed is somebody who did not come on the show for the right reasons. He came on the show to promote himself as a musician.
Right.
He thought he would get on, get a little bit famous, a little bit more famous than he already was, and then he could just leave and go back to his old life the way it was. That was obviously his plan, and it backfired because he accidentally won because she made a bad choice.
And he never would have said anything if he hadn't gotten caught. That's what's even worse. Yes. That's even worse.
He is only sorry that he got caught.
Exactly.
He is not a good person, but you know what? He's 25.
Right.
He's a little kid.
Right.
And he's a little kid who's kind of vain and kind of... He's terrible. He shouldn't be with anybody ever.
Well, and then, you know, it only proves the point that he wouldn't have told her if he hadn't gotten caught. Because all of the questions that she asked him and had asked him during the fantasy suite, when she had asked him, you know, the day after they got engaged, she asked those questions. That was not information he offered up. He was never going to say a word.
Well, I think she probably could have been a little bit more pressing before she, agreed to get married to him.
Sure.
But also, it's kind of a big flaw for the show.
Yeah.
Where it's like, guess what? Somebody can get away with this.
Well,
yeah. I don't know about get away with it. It's certainly not what happened, but somebody can go this far.
Right.
Being blatantly dishonest.
Right.
So anyway.
The great point about this is just like Hannah brought up, well, Scott, I kicked off the first night for having a girlfriend. She's like, you literally were doing the same thing. What did you think? And Jed was thinking to himself, thank God nobody's talking about me.
Yeah.
Thank God nobody's talking about me.
Yeah.
That's it.
So Jed's terrible, and they sit there, and he tells his version of the story, which is very obviously... false.
Yes.
It's very obvious that he's trying to interpret things on the lighter end of a spectrum.
Mm-mm.
Where the truth is on the very heavy end of it.
And this whole hanging out thing, I would love to sort of...
That doesn't exist. We're not 15 anymore.
No.
So, this happens. Here's a pro tip.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tip, if Hannah is listening to our show, it's a pro tip for her.
Yeah.
It's a pro tip for anybody out there that's like, single and whatnot.
Future interns so Hannah, on the table.
Hannah says all the time, I want to do what my heart says.
Your heart is so stupid.
Here is the problem. Knowing who you want and knowing what you want are very separate things.
They're so different. They're so different.
Knowing that you like Jed more than the other guys, that's fine. Like, you can't help what you're into, you know? you do not want to get married to that. You have to think and use your brain to figure out who you're getting married to. Like, your emotions will tell you who you're into.
Right.
But you have to evaluate things with a little bit more, you know.
Sense?
Yeah, you have to think about this. If you're going to make a decision that affects the rest of your life, don't just do it on what your heart feels like. Don't be an idiot.
Mm-mm. I know I want Costco cake right now, but my head is saying, sis, no, it's a hot girl summer. You got to eat vegetables.
Be a grown-ups do this kind of stuff.
Yes.
Mike is a grown-up. Anyway.
So we get to act three.
And
act
so now three we're in is, the studio.
Yes, we're in the studio. Act three is sort of the mea culpa. So Jed comes out and has this can. Well,
Hannah comes out first.
Sure.
And it's very substanceless.
Yeah.
She's you feel sad. Bad for her.
Feel bad.
She deserves you to feel bad for her.
Yeah.
You know, she made a bad choice. Yeah. That doesn't mean she deserves to be embarrassed like this.
No, and that's exactly what
it is. She's a 23-year-old who made a bad choice about a guy. Can line up. Yeah. It is not her. She did what she was capable of, yeah. And she was not capable of making a good decision. That doesn't mean that she should be, you know, and listen, I'm a critic of hers, obviously.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean she should just be dragged through all of this.
Yeah,
right?
She shouldn't, you know, be shamed through the streets of Westeros.
It also doesn't mean that we should hail her like she's some sort of big survivor.
No.
She is not. She messed up big time. This is her fault.
She messed up, and throughout the season, too, because the Jed thing is not the only discretion.
The Luke thing.
The Luke thing is a mess. The, you know.
Tyler thing is a mess. Like, you have the guy that you should have picked. Yeah. And you missed.
And, you know, I mean, we give her some grace because she's 24, 23, whatever.
It's really not her fault.
Like, yeah. Like, how would you know? If you hadn't been anywhere. I mean, she's been engaged once before, and her only wish in life or her only, the only thing in life that she's ever thought about wanting, and she said it herself, was to be married. So, of course you don't know anything about anything.
Oh, let's talk about this later. But let's talk about this later when we get to Tyler. But anyway, Hannah comes out, and it's just one act on TV. And the important thing is she goes, I'm not with Jed anymore. We're not engaged. That relationship is over. And then, other than that, it's just Chris Harrison being like, you've been so graceful and so great.
So strong.
Which is just ABC trying to cover their up because they made a mistake with who they picked.
Yeah.
So, that act is over. Now Jed comes out.
Jed comes out, and he creates this sort of long canned apology. That is,
does he do it with a guitar?
I think if he wanted to bring a guitar, he would have done it. He goes on and on about how he embarrassed himself and he embarrassed Hannah, and you know, there's all of these things that he wish he could take back, but he can't. And you know, he betrayed her trust, and he betrayed the trust of Bachelor Nation. Thank you.
It's hard to watch.
It's really, I mean, the whole thing is just very sad.
He never said, I'm sorry I got caught, but that's what he meant.
That's and what everyone he meant. Knows it.
And he doesn't give up on the story. He's like, listen, I didn't think I was going to meet the woman that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with.
Which, again, is not the right thing
say. We're all like, dude, no one believes that.
Good
like,
Lord.
Your story is over, and we've all figured it out.
You are not a compelling character. You're not going to come back on Bachelor in Paradise and get the Nick Viall edit.
It's okay that you say, I'm sorry. It is not okay that you think you're still going to fool everybody into thinking your version of the truth is that you were in this low stakes relationship because you didn't know that you could be in a high stakes one.
Please.
Until you met Hannah.
Let me tell you something. Some girl that you're saying that you love, that I love you too, that you've been dating since October, and you were taking all these trips with, that have met your family and did all these birthday trips and all this kind of stuff. Come on, that ain't no low stakes relationship. And the fact that you were out here peddling this narrative that you two were just hanging out is trash and garbage.
Just hanging out is a weird, Like, who says that?
Children. Those are the phrases that you use in high school. Like, oh, what are you doing with this girl? Oh, we're just hanging out. Oh, we're talking.
Yeah, it's like you.
What are you talking about?
You enter freshman year of college undeclared, and you finish. You graduate from college, and you can no longer say just hanging out with somebody.
You can't.
That said, I don't know if Jed graduated from college.
He's been really focused on his music.
I know. That's. I don't know if he does that. But also, 25 is too old to say you were just hanging out with somebody.
Yes, that is true.
It's like when you're 15 and you're just talking to somebody.
See, and no, even when I was 15, I hated that phrase because it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't solidify a relationship. It is immature. It is.
It only means something as a vehicle for what it doesn't say.
Right.
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 Which is the opposite of the point of words.
Right. I'm like, you need to be out here in DTR. Even when I was 15, I was like, you got a DTR or I'm out.
How'd that work out for you?
Actually, pretty great.
Oh, I don't want to hear it. Nah, no, neither did I. So, anyway, it's just very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You're sitting there. Honestly, I was sitting there and I was like, I don't know what he could say that's what I want to hear.
I don't want to hear anything from him.
I think I'm done hearing stuff from him.
I am absolutely done hearing stuff from him.
I'm also done hearing stuff from her.
Sure.
Because I, like, all she does is talk about her emotions. I just want my heart. I just want this. And, like, listen, I'm not watching this show for you to tell me what you want.
What are you watching this show for then, Adam?
I was going to finish a sentence, and I don't know why.
You couldn't find it.
I'm watching the show because I want to make fun of you on the radio so that my friends can listen to this and go, this is kind of fun. I feel like I'm hanging out with Adam right now.
Hi, everybody. It was good to see you. I think the last thing that
Why am I watching this show?
Okay. I think the last thing that I do want to address before we get to Tyler is, I did appreciate that Hannah at least said that she wants to take some time to really be single because she hasn't been. And she wants to go out and live and do all kinds of stuff. And I admire that. Out of all of this stuff, the last thing she needs to do is to get into a relationship with anybody.
What a great segue to Tyler coming out. So this is the problem. This is, like, for me, the one big problem with the show is that Tyler comes out and Chris Harrison's immediate objective is to set the two of them up and get, like, a second chance, like, consolation prize. Like, hey, it didn't work out with your number one, but how about what's behind door number two? This is obviously what they're trying to do. They're trying to still set her up with Tyler. And she ends up asking him out after some obvious, like, badgering and leading there. But she had just said, I realize I need to be single. I realize I don't need a man. And then just a man comes out and she goes, all right, do you want to go on a date right now?
I mean,
come on.
I mean, no, I think that Hannah, still being a 24-year-old person, somebody probably said to her backstage, some producer that she trusts and doesn't realize is making a television show, probably said to her, like, oh my God, Tyler's going to come out. You haven't seen him since you guys broke up. What are you going to say to him? Do you want to ask him out? You should ask him out. Like, this is still a television
Wouldn't
show.
Wouldn't somebody who's actually learned something from this process go, you guys haven't given me very good advice so far. Remember the whole Luke thing? Remember the whole Jed thing? You guys have been giving me kind of bad advice. Maybe it's time I stop listening to you.
Well, you know who did that? Colton. And remember what happened?
Fence jumped.
Exactly.
But still, I mean, I'm not trying to say this about anybody else. Just with her in particular, if she's been taking their advice so far, like, how is that working out for you? Why would you still go along?
Not great, Bob. So Tyler comes out. He's fantastic, amazing, magnetic, perfect,
He's
wonderful.
Really good. He says the right thing. Mm. You know, for as dumb as he is, and he is dumb, he has a very good knack for saying the right thing. He is the only way to do it, the only way he could possibly be doing this, is if he just actually is a really nice guy and he's just being honest.
I think this is
the trick. The trick to always saying the right thing is to just be the right thing and just be honest. That's the shortcut. And I think he's doing it.
I strongly believe that he is that kind of person. I don't think there is a... Now, granted, he's probably out here... More power to him.
Oh, and she's one of them.
And listen, I'm into it. But honestly,
stop lining up, Taylor.
What? but honestly, I think he is that kind of person. And I think at the beginning of this whole thing, whenever he's sort of hanging out with girls and trying to scam on him or whatever, he probably tells him off Jeff, like, I'm not looking for anything serious right now. Like, I'm having fun. I was on The Bachelor.
I'm just trying to dance my way through this construction job.
And, like, I've got this nonprofit that I'm working on with these kids. And, you know, I go back to Jupiter, Florida every once in a while. You just want to hang out and have sex a couple times? And the girls will be like, yeah.
I mean, everyone's a nice guy until they get famous, right?
I mean, but I think he's still nice. I think he's still nice. I mean, if he wasn't nice, he wouldn't be talking like that.
I think he's still nice, too. I'm just saying, what if, I mean, everyone's nice until now.
Listen, I've met plenty of famous people.
I mean, the line for him right now is around the corner.
Gigi Hadid is the only thing I'm going to say. So Hannah asked Tyler out on it to get drinks. And my thing is
are we supposed to clap for this?
I don't know. Like, listen, Gigi Hadid.
I mean, if that's what you're into, I guess.
Yeah. I think there's a couple things that we need to discuss before we sort of sign off.
I have no more notes, so I'm just freelancing at this point.
I think the main thing that we probably need to address is, though Michael. Tyler... Okay. Oh, okay. Well, related. Though Tyler wasn't officially on the Bachelor couch getting the
edit.
Man,
he did do really well, though.
He did a great job tonight.
But I
do
don't
you think
want...
he's too high profile now?
No, I think he's too young. We just saw what happens with a child as the main. We need a real life adult now.
Right.
We need an adult who has been through some stuff, who has a little bit of perspective, who hasn't just been out of college for 1 year. Mm-hmm. We need a grown up. Yeah. And, you know, like, as much as Bachelor, you know, ABC is going to be like, yeah, Hannah was such a success. Look at how many people love her. She wasn't. She was not good. Mm-hmm. She didn't do anything. She got lucky that Luke caused so much drama.
Yeah, because the show would have really been a mess.
She really was not good. And, you know, as much as I love Tyler, I don't think he would be good either.
I mean, Mike...
I think he'd be respectful, which is great, but I'm not trying to watch people be respectful to each other on TV.
And frankly, Peter, as another option, Peter reminds me so much of Ben Higgins when I didn't like Ben Higgins.
Peter's a child, too.
Yeah.
He's a child who's not even attractive. Tyler's at least got a thing going.
He sure does.
He at least has pros.
Oh, yeah.
Peter doesn't.
And Mike is the total package. The total package.
I would still think Mike is the person to go with, but, you know, I don't know if they liked something in Hannah. Hannah and Tyler are very similar. They're clones of each other.
Yeah.
They're people you can put words in their mouth. You know, neither one of them speaks on camera super well. You know, I just don't want another season of this. I wouldn't mind Tyler. I like him as a person. I just don't like him as the cornerstone of the show.
Yeah. So we'll probably get the announcement for who's going to be The Bachelor deep into the fall.
Maybe end of BIP, maybe after the final rose of BIP, or even after.
Maybe October, November, because they'll start shooting then. And then the show will air in January.
Early January starts.
Yeah, first of the year. Right after football. Or during football.
Right after football.
Right after
literally
football.
The first week Monday Night Football is over first week of The Bachelor.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Okay.
Bachelor in Paradise starts next week.
Yeah.
We're going to watch it eventually. You should watch it if you want.
Yeah.
But we won't be podcasting about it. Because,
absolutely not.
You know, we like Mondays.
I like having the Mondays back.
It's nice after a little while of this.
Yeah.
You know, The Bachelor doesn't get all my time.
It gets a lot of it, though.
Just every Monday night for like...
Just a half of a year.
For like 30 weeks
out
of the year.
Yeah, just a half of a year, for sure. Thanks everybody for joining us for this season, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
Stop with my mind. None of you know anything about me. I want fun. And I want adventures.
Because all we do is talk about stupid
jabroni.
The Roll Tide, yeah.
It was real and it was raw.
I'm a normal human being, like, trying to be a bachelorette.